Oh, yeah. Almost there. Almost there. I haven't gotten delirious yet. I'm quite pleased. El Presidente.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. What are your thoughts on cashless bail? Because I think what we should do is give up this whole life of show thing, and let's just go commit crimes in New York City.
Well, it's sort of what the... Some of the liberal progressives up there make it look like, yeah.
Well, it looks like when you get caught, they give you a cup of coffee, and then while they're still filling out the paperwork, me and you are going through the revolving door.
Pretty much.
What do you think about it? What do you think about cashless bail?
Doesn't protect the public.
What do you think the end game is with the Democrats with this?
It is...
When you stack it with all of their other little deck of cards...
It is, once again, to fulfill the Marxist destiny of identifying the oppressor and the oppressed.
But they seem to want to, I mean, we both know that they just want to be in control of everything right. All the time, every day.
Right.
But what they're building to be in control of is a pile of rubble.
Well.
Wouldn't you want to be in charge of something of value?
Well, and then they will blame corporate greed for it and then take it over.
Well, the problem is eventually they run out of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And eventually you run out of folks to tax as well.
That's right. So while we're all sitting here and we're looking at this, see, this is where the puzzle for me. Because I sit there and I'm like, okay, what on earth are we looking at? Why are we going in this direction? I do not understand. And... Is cashless bail so they can get back out on the street faster?
Apparently so.
And commit more crime? Now, here's the other question, okay? All of these guys that have cashless bail and all of these sanctuary hellscapes and everything else, they're also operating under a deficit in most cases.
Oh,
financially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like the other day while we're all sitting there going, I sure am glad I don't live in California. One of Gavin Newsom's CDL holders killed three people in Florida.
Right.
So all of their stuff while we're all sitting here going, well, we're insulated from all of this. We're actually not, are we?
No.
Oh, gosh. Do you know what this means? We're just going to have to go out there. I mean, see, I don't mind Lee going with me because I've let him hold one of my rifles and he knows what he's doing. He knows how to handle that there thingy. And But, I mean, this is going to get – do you see us ever getting into a critical mass sort of thing at some point where we just can't take it anymore? We're just not going to be able to tolerate it anymore?
Well, that will be the final nail in the coffin of the Republic. That's why I'm hoping it doesn't get to that. Just, you know.
Well, I am too. But, I mean, at the same time, I can hope and pray and –
Oh, yeah.
Do all this other stuff, and in the end, I don't know how much I have to do with it, what actually happens.
Well, that's the risk that liberal progressives and Republicans run into when they don't follow through on the things that they say they're going to do.
Right.
Now, quite honestly, I'm thankful when Democrats do not follow through on the things they say they want to do, and I'm thankful when those efforts are stopped, but... When you see the corrective actions that many Republicans run on and then they don't follow through on it, that's what's, puts the elections into question.
Well, see, I look at the whole body dysphoria thing as the latest version of the COVID thing.
Okay.
Because I looked at the COVID thing as a psychological operation to see how far we could be pushed.
Well, I think we've found the limit, and I don't think that that particular type of tactic can be used again.
But they were trying it with the whole transgenders, close quote.
The gender dysphoria?
Gender dysphoria thing.
Because which is a mental illness.
It's a mental illness, but they were trying to make it normalized
right.
to us.
Yeah.
Just like wearing masks and being right. separated 6 feet.
Right.
So I'm just, I sit back and I just, all of these little things that they're doing, it's not quite Marxist because, Stalin would not have tried any of this stuff. He'd just gone out there and just rounded a bunch of people up and killed them and said, that's what happens if you don't do is what I'm about to tell you, without even having told them anything yet. Mao, there was the Great Revolution with Mao. So 100 million people later, those are all failed
mm-hmm.
political philosophies, but for some reason, we just haven't done it the right way just yet, have we?
That's always the attitude, is that, you know, socialism, communism hasn't worked because it hasn't been done right yet. Well, that's not true. As you pointed out, it's failed in every circumstance.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at this stuff, and I look at all the things that they've got going on this regular basis now, and I just say to myself, hey, you guys are, you're either nutty or you're genius. But whichever it is, you guys are going in a direction you do not understand.
True. Yeah.
Have I ever told you the boomer story?
Not sure about that.
Okay. So in North Carolina, when my grandfather was still alive, and I was a very little boy, and he could have told me anything and I would have believed it because he was my hero. He caught a small squirrel that he called a boomer. And I was looking at this squirrel, and he said, that's the fastest thing alive. And I was watching it. It sure did seem fast. You know, I was about 7. And then he goes, you know one thing about boomers, and I didn't understand it then, but I remembered it. He said, you can get a hold of them, but you can't let go of them fast enough. And I fear that this is what the left is going to find out the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a few of my friends get out there that are, never served a day of their life in the military, and they get out there and they want the veterans of the United States to get out and fight this Revolutionary War, when most veterans of combat and most veterans that never were in combat don't want to be in combat,
right? Yeah,
because they've trained to be in combat and they know what it's going to be like, or they've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, what the left doesn't understand, and even the friends that have no idea what they're talking about. You take a bunch of people that just want to be left to themselves, and they just want to be left alone and left to their peace and left to live their life. If you force them into a situation where they're going to act, it's going to get real ugly,
yep,
real fast. It's going to be really bloody. Everybody's going to be sitting back going, what?
Yeah, I mean, that's the line that they don't need to cross, and it's just not necessary.
I would think, wouldn't you think that's fairly, it is a fairly well-known line?
Pretty much. I mean, we've seen it throughout history.
Yeah.
And it never ends well.
No.
Yeah.
But anyway, cashless bail.
Yeah, You're either for the enforcement of law and the rule of law, or you're against it. I mean, that's where that is. And I do think that it's important that we have a just justice system, which unfortunately we don't really, because it's selective justice. But we should have a just justice system, and those that are accused of crimes and there's sufficient evidence to file those charges. And if it is of such a horrific state where the public is at risk while they are waiting for trial, then yeah, there should be bail, and there should be a point where they're being held to protect society. However, I do think that part of what our problem is that we have such a long wait for these trials.
Yeah,
I mean, you never hear anybody talk about speedy justice anymore.
Nope.
I mean, quite honestly, even someone is accused of murder or whatever heinous crime, they should have a quick and speedy trial by a jury of their peers. Quick. I mean, this shouldn't be, you know, year, 2-3 years down the road when this occurs, because they, you know, even the accused shouldn't have to sit in jail waiting on a trial that it's being delayed for who knows how long.
Justice delayed is justice denied.
That's what they say.
El Presidente, it has been a slice, young man.
Thank you, sir.
I do appreciate it. When we get back, the Minnesota school shooter explains in his own words why he was a product of the Democrat Party. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. It goes without saying that shooting and maiming innocent people is horrible. But we're in a much bigger situation with some of this stuff now. Because it isn't just about the act. It's about the decline of our culture. It's a reflection of the results of allowing these far-left crazy policies run amok within every corner of American society today. And the murderer pretty much verified himself. We know it was a 23-year-old man named Robert Westman. Let's just give him his name. He wanted to be a woman, but he can't be. He could never have been, and he's not. His mom allowed him to change his name to Robin at the age of 17 because she wasn't actually a mom. His driver's license also listed him as a female. And he put some interesting videos online. He had all of his weapons and all of his magazines decorated, had the names of spree killers written on some of them, Adam Lanza and James Holmes and Whitman. Can't remember Whitman's first name, but a lot of those guys are on there. He also had some other things to say, and some of the language buried in his manuscripts suggests that Westman was kind of over the whole trans thing he cooked up when he was, I suppose, in high school. And it included passages about how he was tired of being trans, and he wished he'd never brainwashed himself. He specifically referenced his long hair, and he said he only keeps it because it's pretty much my last shred of being trans. I'm tired of being trans. I wish I'd never brainwashed myself. Other language read, I can't cut my hair now because it would be an embarrassing defeat. And it might be a concerning change of character that could get me reported. It always gets in my way. I will probably chop it on the day of the attack. Yeah. And I regret being trans. I wish I was a girl. I just know I cannot achieve that body with the technology we have today. I also can't afford that. I don't want to dress girly all the time, but I guess sometimes I really like it. I know I'm not a woman, but I definitely don't feel like a man. But he also gave us some other clues as well. In the videos that he's put up, it looks like he's operating from an ideological framework of today's top Democrats, like Tim Walz, who runs his entire state like his own personal laboratory, a Wuhan-style breeding ground. And Democrats like that weaselly little mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey. You know, he became famous when he let his city get burned to the ground. When your first reaction to the loss of innocent lives is to condemn people's faith, especially when those who died, they died celebrating their faith, you've got to be a low-down human being. And when your second reaction is to call for support of the trans community, rather than the community that experienced such hatred and violence, you're not really qualifying to be a human in most cases. He's supposed to be the mayor of the entire city of Minneapolis, including the murder victims of his beloved trans individual. So even if that's what you believe, there's a time and a place for that, and it ain't standing outside a church where the bodies of dead children lay. Now, if all of these people really cared about the, quote, trans, close quote, community, they'd be setting up mental health services for them, not encouraging children to become them. Their encouragement for Robert Westman to become trans got him killed. He wanted to die. He may not have said it, but he knew he was going to die when he started his attack, and he went there and did it anyway. He didn't ask for help. And this guy, this Westman guy, is a product of that culture in Minnesota, a culture that pushed something that isn't natural on him. Then once he adopted it and slipped through the cracks, okay. And he literally laid all of this out in his manifesto. Now, once again, let me clear something up. If you think you're that, or if you think you're a pile of lumber, or if you think that you're, you know, a truck towing Pentel or something, whatever it is, I don't care. You're an adult. When you get home, close the door. Be what you want to be. Right? But you don't get to force it on me. And you certainly shouldn't be forcing it on children. That's where my problem comes. I will not get out there and tell you that I hate any group of people. I look very disfavorably upon anybody that foists anything on children. This is where I and a bunch of violent convicts have something in common. Hurting kids, you lose a lot of things now. Jesse Waters got out there. And he said this, I don't hate anyone who thinks they're trans. I feel sorry for them. But statistically, the trans population has been prone to violence. That's not villainizing, that's reality. And if you can't recognize reality, you're in danger. We love the American people, especially American children. And if they've troubled to believe they're somehow a girl trapped in a boy's body, we want to get them help. We don't want to give them hormones and operate on them. Society shouldn't be trying to produce more trans kids. Well, yeah. On the text line, the shooter's mom is guilty also and should be locked up for not beating the queer out of her son. She certainly should be locked up. There's more to being a parent than being a violent parent. A new one. If the trainee had shot a bunch of Muslim kids, the leftist outrage would have burned down the whole state. That would have been a particular problem for them. We just wouldn't have heard anything out of them. Because this is when you have two protected groups attacking each other. Sort of like the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. I will tell you this. There's no way to stop this. The only way to stop this is to take the target and make it a tough target. If you can make it a tough target, then you can stop it, but you can't prevent it. But you know what? I'll go through something I talked about yesterday. There's actually five stages these yahoos go through as they are making their trip to being a rampage shooter. We'll get into that in just a second. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. There are a few fundamental truths known about these rampage killers. And we don't need to deal with the whole, a lot of things like, were they trans? Were they on psychotropic drugs? Did somebody fire them at work? We don't need to worry about that, okay? This all comes down to what basically works out to be about the same thing with all of these cases. Five phases. This is coming from police1.com. Police1.com. First of all, there's the fantasy phase. We've always, when I was a kid, you know, or I'm sure I've seen other kids do it, you know, mom, dad gets mad at them. They're like, if I weren't here anymore, they'd be sorry. You know, that fantasy kind of thing. This is where we're getting out there. These guys are getting out there and they're thinking to themselves, well, they're writing it down. You know, they're thinking about drawing out what they want to do, or they post evidence. In this particular phase, if you were to intercede, you will stop the rampage killer. Arrests and psychiatric holds on these individuals save lives. Then comes the planning phase. This is a little more dangerous because now we're putting pen to paper and we're deciding, we're making decisions. We're deciding who's going to die, what we're going to do and when we're going to do it, where we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, and why we're going to do it. It might be on a hard drive or a hard copy. And if you were to see this, this can be used to potentially open a legal path to intercede at this moment. You can show it to a police officer. If it looks like a manifesto, these guys know what they're looking at when they see these things. In August of 2019 alone, using this particular phase to intercede, a Las Vegas man was charged with allegedly planning to attack a synagogue. In Connecticut, a man who posted an interest in mass shooting on social media was arrested. In Ohio, a man was taken into custody before he could act on his hate-filled postings, and weapons were taken from him. In Florida, a man who posted he wanted to break a world record was stopped before he did. His rifle and 400 rounds of ammo showed he was capable of getting the 100 kills that he thought would be nice. Some of those of individuals, though, passed into the next phase, which is the preparation phase. This is now where we're getting out there and we're getting our kit together. The killer's going to buy, borrow, or steal the instruments needed to facilitate mass murder. They might commit burglaries to get guns and ammo. They may educate themselves in explosives via the internet. They may purchase bomb-making materials and assemble explosive devices. Any of those could lead to an early report to police of these suspicious activities. And in most cases, the suspect will visit the intended killing scene to gather intelligence as he's putting the plan together. And the preparation phase is an opportunity for a family member or a citizen or a mental health professional or business owner or a police officer to take notice of this suspicious accumulation of information, weapons, ammo, and equipment. With a tip, if it were received in advance, it can't go unheeded as it did in the Parkland school shooting. Now we're getting very dangerous. Now we're in the number four, the approach phase. This is the last chance we get to stop this. You can alert a citizen or a police officer to observe someone dressed for combat approaching a school, hospital, mall, theater, or church carrying a weapon or weapons. They're doing like a dress rehearsal in some cases for this. They can initiate a Terry stop, which is a tool for the proactive police officer to prevent all kinds of crime. On April 19th, look at the date whenever you're out there. April 19th for Columbine, April 20th was Hitler's birthday. September 11th, that's a good date to remember. Beat officers should consider increasing stops around schools. And if you find a car that has missing taillights or cracked windshields or failure to turn signals, you're probably coming across a killer on his or her approach. And this is interdicting here is a dangerous thing because these guys are primed and ready to go. Probably going to turn in on August 13th in 2019. Traffic stop turned into a mobile active shooter event. And during that pursuit rampage, the killer ended lives of seven and wounded 21. And then we come to the last phase. There is no more chances at this point to stop it from occurring. Number four is very dangerous. Number five is deadly. And the thing is, despite any vigilance that we might be able to exercise out there, all of these guys will arrive at this point. Most of them will arrive to this point. That's the sad part. They're going to put their plan into motion. And understand what a rampage killing is. It's not just shooting. It's stabbing and driving into the crowd or setting off their explosives. These guys, what makes this type of killer so rare is because their motivation is simply to get a score. Get a top score. The problem with this is when this event kicks off, when you hear gunshots, or when you see somebody stabbing somebody, or when you see a car driving through something, or when you hear an explosion, everybody's base instinct is to run. And I totally get that. I totally get this. But if we're going to let this guy run unmolested, then the clock becomes our enemy. And every minute's going to be bad for everybody there. If we had a gunfighter in place, that would change things. In the event of rampage killers, we do have statistics on this. When you wait on the police to arrive, average loss of life is somewhere between 18 and 22. When an armed citizen is on hand, 2.5. The reason that there's any at all is because it takes the mind X amount of time to sit there and actually digest what they're seeing and move on it and make decisions and get in there and start doing things. But we saw that in Indianapolis. We saw that at Clackamas Mall. In Clackamas Mall, Nick Melly did not have to even shoot the guy. He got up there and he posted up there. Guy pulled out an AR-15 that he'd stolen. And he's in the food court and he goes, the rampage killer's here. And he shoots and kills two people and wounds one. And then he's going to walk down the mall and everybody's going into the mall, running into the stores. And well, he's, you know, he encounters Nick Melly, who was carrying a gun and who drew his gun. And from a point of cover, the killer saw him and went into an access hallway and shot himself. Self-defense goes a long way. And where there are defenders, they save lives. So this is the problem we face, the five phases. The first four phases are not very apparent unless you are looking at it. This guy's mom knew. This guy's mom knew. And if you out there, especially you ladies who are moms, you know that if your child is acting sort of weird, you're looking at their stuff because you're a mom. This mom knew. She knew. I don't know if she was afraid of him. Adam Lanza's mom should have been afraid of him. Time is, you know, going back to the Covenant School, Tennessee cops showed up there in 14 minutes. That was remarkable response of time. But if they had not had as good a lockdown as they had, Audra Hale would have killed 30 people. So that was a combination of dumb luck and dumb luck. And we still lost six, and three of them, we lost three kids. So we have the midterms coming up, and the low voter paradigm now favors the GOP. Oh, my goodness. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. It used to be thought that in politics, if there was a big voter turnout, that favored the Democrats, because that meant that more minorities and other demographic groups that favored Democrats showed up to vote. That's no longer true. Fewer people voting is better for Democrats. That depends 60 years of Democratic strategy about maximizing voter turnout of all demographic groups. Previously, the thinking was that increasing voter turnout for all groups was good because even if GOTV or GOP efforts brought a few more Republicans to the polls, the massive numbers of Democrat voters would swamp everybody. But now, the fewer people who show up, the more likely the Democrats are to win. Which I really do wish we would listen to that one. While special elections are a fraught measurement of anything, we just had one here. We just had one for the Spartanburg County Sheriff and for Spartanburg County Council. And the turnout was abysmal. Spartanburg, a lot of interest in all those guys. A lot of interest, but, you know, nobody turning out. According to Democratic analyst Matty Glacius, Democrats are now the party that performs best among the people who are most likely to vote. And that matters in special elections when only the most committed voters show up to vote. And the counter to this advantage is that those least likely to vote are solidly Republican, which is messed up. New information shows definitively that the people who didn't vote in 2024 are even more Trump-friendly group than the people who did vote. And that untargeted voter registration and mobilization schemes are likely to help Republicans rather than Democrats. Because everything for the Democrats has already been done. They have gerrymandered their states to the point to where, you know, 40% of the state's voting for Trump, and they don't have any Republican representatives there. One implication of Democrats being less likely to vote relates to some pretty banal aspects of tactics and political mechanics. You know, donors need to be more skeptical of nonpartisan voter registration drives. Donors like to fund these because they can make tax-exempt contributions, and it sounds a lot more high-minded than investing in partisan politics, even while de facto advancing partisan goals. But the new turnout climate and the new registration data is causing a lot of the antagonists to change their tune on that one. And the strategic implication for Republicans is startling, because the field has flipped, and Democrats are finding themselves unable and unwilling to face the altered reality. Democrats used to be the ones that encouraged everybody to vote. But the public service announcements by celebrities telling people to register and vote were supposed to be nonpartisan. Everyone knew that the more people who came to the polls, the better the odds the Democrats would win, until now. Democrats like mail-in voting in part because of a principled desire to make voting easier. But voting shouldn't be easy. Shouldn't be easy. And also because of their belief that voting, making voting easier and boost turnout will be a good for them electorally. Well, of course it will. Plus, there's a lot of fraud that's going to be able to, you know, ballot harvesting, all that other nonsense. But, unfortunately, as with everything, all things change. Now, their ultimate goal today has to be to become competitive in swing districts. And that will not only require the nuts and bolts adjustments that are outlined by Iglesias, but also a dramatic change in messaging and issue emphasis. The bad news for the Democrats is that their rabid base of supporters, who make up a large plurality of their vote, isn't going to stand for it. And the 2024 slap in the head apparently did not take. So every time you have an opportunity to vote, go vote. Vote for the dog catcher. Vote for the fire districts. Vote for the school boards. Vote for every office that you can vote for. Make it a habit. If we all made it a habit, there would be no more Democrats winning anything. But it's got to be made a habit. We can't just do it when it's the exciting times. We need to do it all the time. Being a citizen, tough stuff. Tough stuff. But being a citizen and going and vote means that we don't have to put some things on and go out and do some things that are very loud and sometimes hurt a lot. I'd rather not have to put that stuff on again. My knees are gone. So, I'd rather not do it. I'd rather not do it. So join me with that if you would. Coming up next, it is the Mike Gallagher Show. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD.